Let's go off on that branch line of the barbarians. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your experiences with the barbarians.
Barbarians, at least the tour. Scared. Ooh. Not so much with the barbarians, because if you're a new barbarian, you've got to do your party trick on a Saturday night.
So what was your party piece?
I remember Mickey Burton's was going to be... He showed them... Alberto showed them how to cook elvers. Right. Typical Burton. So what am I going to do? Oh, my God. I'm not worried about the barbarians, really, because you've got great players. I've got the picture out of my hall, actually, from that Easter tour. Luckily, John Simonette was playing for us. Remember Simo?
Yeah.
Great number eight.
Magician,
that's right. But basketball as well was his forte. But the great thing was you could just put up a big bomb of a ball to him. But because of his basketball, he knew where it was going to end up. I always used to say, I used to throw it and Simo used to touch his opposite number. Have you seen this trick? Pull out a pack of cards. No. And then suddenly just put up a hand and get pulled. It was magic, you know. Mike Teague sometimes wanted it. I want it there, within 3 inches, please. And not Simo, boom, big bomb. But show me a trick. So he did. So I presented the disappearing cigarette at the barbarian's dinner, to much applause and everything. Till someone decided, well, make it reappear then. Ah. I hadn't done part two of the trick, so I did part one, so that was good enough. again, great names. I remember Andy Ripley off that Easter tour. Oh, again, no one, Jesus, rest in peace again. What a great person he was, great personality.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, quite a sight rampaging down the field.
He was, yeah, it was. Yes, and then there's the Sunday afternoon golf. So all those who can play golf are put into the teams, and the rest of you will hack your way around and get in the bar early. Fair enough, thank you. Yeah, it was great. Again, it was great meeting people from Scotland, Wales, yeah. Ireland, and then seeing them again when you go to the dinners. And that was a nice thing, so you have maybe a friend in the other camp. Mm. So
who were your props on that Barbarians tour?
Certainly John Doubleday, who was playing for Bristol in those times, and the other one was Ian Milne, one of the great Scottish props, a great guy as well. I can't recollect any others, actually. Unless sometimes on the Barbarians tours, if they were injured, they would perhaps bring people in. I've certainly done that on World 15 games sometimes, where there's been injuries. I remember down at Finethley, I had to go down and just be on the bench, to cover them. So those are the two I can remember, Doubleday and Milne, on that particular tour.
Actually, looking back over your career as a whole, Steve, who would be the props you would choose to have alongside you? Who would you be your first choice?
I would always put Burton in there. The great thoughts he had and the knowledge, the brain he had on his body, on his shoulders, really. And he's a great thinker about it. And I'd always put Mickey Burton in there. Now, for Loosehead, I would have to gauge it on perhaps the game you were playing. You've got Keith Richardson, Phil Blakeway, Gordon Sargent. I could just cover those three and be so close, it's unbelievable. It'd be a rotor if you had to. But then you could switch Blakeway over to tight head. Blakers, yield them up low, Australia all back, fine, great. Berto had that thinking process on top of all that as well. Not the great strength that Phil had, but he had that great brain and knowledge and the ability to upset people, I think, on and off the ball.
And Malcolm Preedy?
And Malcolm, yes. They're in his Spurs towards the end. I would rate him just outside those other three. Malcolm, we had our glory day in South Africa when the three of us turned out. At least we all got dropped together, so it was all for one and everything.
Yeah, that was the first test in South
Africa. That's right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but it wasn't a very well prepared test at the end of the day. It was a bit of a hodgepodge. Towards the end of the apartheid, I remember we were shoveled out through Heathrow kitchens to miss all the crowds. It was a difficult tour, to say the least, on that one. Yeah, but I think Malcolm, I think he'd been blooded in international rugby just a little bit too early. I think he still had maybe another one or two seasons experience would have done him a lot more good, I think, and he would have been up there with them.
And who would you choose as the people to have up your backside, as I might say, in the second row behind you?
Jesus, who do we have? Big Fids, Stevie Boyle, John Orwin, he's a great player as well, great in the line-outs. Alan Brin, again, you couldn't go wrong with any of them, really. All had their own different strengths. And the type of game that they played, you know, you really could call it for the opposition you were playing against, who you would choose. But I've got no... Everyone was there playing for Gloucester because they were good enough, basically.
And which front row opponents did you find most difficult?
Most difficult. I would like to think I had the mindset that I would be better than them, which is, you know, that's the attitude you ought to go in with. Not being a cocky one about it, but you know, you've got to think about your game. I would think about the referees, who was going to referee the game, because I knew some referees would blow up the first two scrums no matter what, and Mills, penalty, and that was it. They were happy, you know, and they got that out of the way, and then I would try and introduce some devious ploy, something different every season. Only subtle variations on things, you know, making the other hooker take the wrong head hole, if you like, you know, so they all get a little bit worried. Do that on the younger ones, perhaps. But the ones I had respect for, Pullen, I played him a couple of times. I mean, I'm lucky in the era I crossed over. At least I've seen and played with all the great ones, I think. Obviously, Wilbrace, it was always a good battle with him. The Welsh boys, though, Spike Watkins and people like that, great respect. But great respect both ways. You know, Pontypool front row. I'd like to think when I first got my England cap, England players were very hard pushed to congratulate you. Gloucester club is no problem. You know, well done, Steve. You know, you play at English club on a Saturday. But then you're down in, you know, Cardiff or whatever on the Wednesday, Pontypool. Well done, Millsy. Thank you. So yeah, you had to earn your respect, and once you did that, that was the way to go about it. I remember you mentioning about that Coventry game. It's just sort of thinking about the respect thing. That's one of my early games, Coventry away, in the first team. I remember the I think the hooker was, I think, was it Coventry or Moseley? Who did Gary Cox play for? I think it's Coventry, I think. He had a bit of a afro hairdo. He'd come to England schoolboys and everything as hooker. So I think I had a good game, and I think I won the heads on that one. And in the bar afterwards, I'm buying Gary Cox my opposite number of beer. Hello, Gary. Oh, good game. Oh, I like a drink. And suddenly I get dragged out by my ear by Mr. Burton, inquiring as to what I was doing talking to him, you know, the opposition. I said, well, I'm doing what I would do at Cirencester, I'm just buying him a drink. He says, you don't do that now, you're Gloucester, they come to you. What he taught me was, I win the next game after that game, all right? Whether it be the opposite people, the opposition, the referee, how you talk to them, you know. But he said, you're Gloucester now, you've got to change. Hard days again.
Yeah, yeah.